Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Those that are in Facebook land, good morning. I'm coming from Psalms 19, 14th verse. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I'm also coming from James, 3rd chapter, 3 through the 12th verse. And it says, can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with the meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife, there is confusion and evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is pure, with peaceful, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Colossians 4:6 says, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. There is life and death in the power of the tongue. When I was a child in school, we used to have this saying, sticks and stones and may break my bones, but your words cannot hurt me. That is not true. Words definitely hurt. You can hit me with sticks, you can hit me with stones, and I will heal from that eventually. But once words are out there, they stay with you. And you may forgive a person for saying what they said, but you will always remember it has an effect on you. And so I'm speaking really to the church this morning, is that we have to really be careful what we say to each other. We have to let our words be seasoned with salt. God is not pleased with gossiping. He's not pleased with backbiting. He's not pleased with any of that. And then, you know, when we go out into the world and we encounter people that don't know Christ, well, we have to let our words be seasoned with salt. Because if we don't, they're going to look at us like, well, you know, I don't want to be a Christian. I don't want to be a part of that. I get that outside in the world. So we have to be careful how we use our words. And then I like that first scripture, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So I just started thinking, you know, how do we sit up and how do we meditate? What do we think about? What do we think on? You know, we have to think on the goodness of the Lord because God is good. Yes. Through it all, there used to be a song my grandmother used to like, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus and I've learned to trust in God through it all, no matter what. And so we have to be careful how we meditate. We have to be careful what we think about. And so, Father, I just come before you this morning, first of all, Father God, just thanking you, just praising you for each and every one of us that's gathered here on this morning, Father. I thank you because, God, you woke us up this morning, Father. You started us on our way, Father God. You clothed us, Father God, in our right minds, Father God. You gave us the activities of our limbs, Lord God. You are our provider. You are Jehovah Jireh. Lord, I thank you for everything, Father God, even in the midst of what I'm going through. We're all going through something today, Father, and I just thank you, Father. I ask, God, that you would season our salt, our mouths, Lord God, with the salt, Father God. Lord, that you would let us speak love, speak kindness, speak peace, Father God, to one another, to those that are seeking you, Father God. Lord, I just praise your holy name, Lord God. I just love you this morning, Lord. I thank you for all that you have done for me. I thank you for all that you've done for this church, Father God, and I know, Father God, that you, Father God, are going eventually fill these seats up with the people that you want to be here, Father, that's going to edify this church, that's going to lift it up, Father God. Lord, I just praise your holy name, Lord, because you and you alone are worthy. In Jesus' name, yes. Amen.
Morning.
Good morning.
This is the time in the service where we join together in communion. So, if you don't have your communion, it's at the back table there with the white tablecloth. Anyway, I did communion a few weeks ago, and I mentioned how since May, the church has been on three major topics, and I kind of want to continue in that thought. So those three major topics that the church have been on since May have been repentance, grace, and love. And I wanted to kind of this time share the logical conclusion of these three. And actually, Teresa shared in her last message, she shared the exact kind of the exact same thing that I was going to talk about. So it's kind of nice to know that we're tracking as a church with what's going on. So anyways, the logical conclusion, I guess, that I want to get to or talk about is forgiveness. And, you know, the main verse that I used last time, I'm actually going to use this time, and that's 1 John 1:19. You know, for repentance, grace, and love, we know that his grace covers what we could not cover on our own, because he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We also know from Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 that he saves us through grace, which is not of our own selves. And then, of course, if we look at 1 Corinthians 13, we have a great understanding of what love is. It's patient, kind, keeps no record of wrong, those type of things. And we understand that no record of our wrong. But communion is about sharing Jesus, or Jesus sharing himself with his disciples at the Last Supper, and then with us as we partake of it. Communion is the ultimate act of forgiveness. And just think about this for a minute. You're Jesus. You're at this table with your closest friends. You wash their feet and then desire to partake of a meal with them. And in doing so, you're sharing yourself. Take, eat, this is my body. Drink of this. This is my blood, which is poured out for your sins. It's the ultimate act of forgiveness, because Jesus knew it, that shortly thereafter in the garden, pretty much everybody was going to betray him at that point and walk away, hide, run, whatever you want to say. But, you know, he knew all this was going to happen, but yet he desired to be with us in that moment, to be with his disciples in that moment. So, and in the same way that we're forgiven and desired fellowship with, we're called to forgive. As we take communion, we need to remember how much we've been forgiven of, and the extent, and extend that same forgiveness to our brothers and sisters. We should also seek the forgiveness of those who we have held things against wrongly. Remember, Scripture teaches us to take the plank from our own eye and before removing the speck from our brother's. And we're called to confess our sins one to another, not to confess how you sinned against me. We're called to confess our sins one to another. And a lot of times when it comes to this particular thing, you know, forgiveness, we as a church, or we as a people, make so many scenarios in our head. Of course, this is why Jesus, you know, says if you look at a woman lustfully, you've committed adultery in your heart. If you've thought angrily against somebody, you've committed murder in your heart. Because we create a lot of scenarios in our head. And we're talking about taking communion, taking part of Jesus' body and blood and the forgiveness which he extended to us. But we make these scenarios in our head. And we do it often. And see, we're easy to forgive others, you know, especially the farther away it is from us, you know. Oh, so-and-so, my mom hurt me in 1979. I can forgive that now because now I'm older and I have children and I realize she did the best she could. Or, you know, I don't know, when I was in Guatemala, somebody cooked a bad meal for me. I forgive them now because I haven't been to Guatemala in almost 15 years. You know, we can forgive those kind of things. The closer they are, it gets harder, you know. And then, see, we can't forgive because when I say the closer it is, it gets harder. You know, if Andrea continually hurts me as husband and wife over and over, that'll get harder to forgive over time. Or, you know, because we're intimately close, we see each other day to day, we're, you know, right there. And if I do something that annoys her every day, or she does something that annoys me every day, it's a little harder because you're always faced with it and you don't know how to confront it. But then again, even more intimately is the garbage we create in our heads. And this church, we do this too much. Scenarios, we place scenarios in our head, you know, and we can say, oh, I love sister so-and-so, but I can't work with her. I love brother so-and-so, but man, I just can't be around him too much. Because in your mind, you built these scenarios. You know, oh, so-and-so. Pastor Oz knows everything, so he's got an answer before I think it, so there's no point in talking to him. So now I've built up a wall of offense. See, this is the closest and most intimate act of forgiveness here because of the fact that he didn't do anything to me. I did it all to myself, and I'm sinning against him by creating a scenario in my head. And so we do this too much. And of course, you know, we just finished something on last Tuesday. I don't know what we call it. No matter who won, we all lose, except for the fact that we're in Christ, and it really is minuscule compared to what. But we create those scenarios in our heads too. Oh, if this president wins, or if this president wins, well, then America's going to be great. If this president wins, then America's going to be horrible. But if your president's not my president, then you're horrible and you're horrible. Oh, boy. And we do this too much. That's all I'm getting at. No matter the scenario, we do it all too much. And, you know, I just want to remind us, Jesus in Matthew 18, 21 through 35, he speaks of a person who he owed his master a major debt. We're talking millions. And this master's, you know, going through all of his affairs and cleaning it up and says, you owe me millions. I have every right. I'm going to throw you into basically debtor's prison, sell your possessions, and do everything I can to get my money back that you have borrowed from me and not paid. And this guy begs, oh, please forgive me of this debt. Please, I will pay you. I will pay you. I promise I'll pay you. Don't throw me into debtor's prison. So the master has compassion on him. Guy turns around and walks away being forgiven of this debt. And we don't even know how long, but let's be honest, in our brains, we would do this not 5 minutes later. Doggone it, Teresa. You owe me $5 from Guatemala or from Peru or Honduras or something. I don't even remember where. But I know you owe me $5. Now pay it. And we will strangle that person. And we will scream at that person. And that's exactly what happens in this parable. We will demand our payment back. Just like this person. And of course, in this parable, this person demands his payment back and shows no compassion whatsoever. Puts this guy into debtor's prison to pay off his debt. Is that the grace and forgiveness we were shown? Now, in his mind, his debt's probably bigger than the debt he owed. In our mind, any offense we feel is bigger than anything we've ever done to anyone else. But the reality is each one of us are the one who owes millions. And we've been forgiven much. And since we've been forgiven much, we need to forgive. Because what's forgiven, like I said, a lot of times it's in our own head. It's not even real. It's just, did you ever notice you're always your own best friend when you talk through scenarios, and somehow you're always the victim and the hero, and everybody else is in the wrong? And if the world only did it according to how you thought, it would be wonderful. Well, that's a sin that we all need to overcome. That's why we're called to confess our sins to one another, because we make up these things over and over. And communion, when Jesus says, take, eat, this is my body, take, drink, this is my blood, we are so thankful. And like I said, we're quick to forgive, you know, the things that make us puffed up and proud. Oh, I forgive you of that $5, Teresa, and probably I owe you $5. But reality, you know, I forgive you of that thing. You're right. It's big to me, but I'm going to forgive you and be bigger than you. And we do this wrong. No, Lord, you've forgiven me so much. Thank you for what you've forgiven me of. Help me to not walk in unforgiveness to my brothers and sisters, especially here in the church with each other. It's easy for us to forgive the lost because they, as Jesus said, they know not what they do. They have not seen through Jesus' eyes yet. But we're the church. We've called and we have seen through Jesus' eyes, and we have been called to forgive just as we've been forgiven. So in communion time, I just want to encourage us to really look at ourselves and take planks out of our own eye. Just don't take this in an unworthy manner. Take this with repentance. Give grace. Be a person of love and walk in forgiveness. So Father God, I just thank you that what you did in Matthew 26 through 28, you gave thanks and broke the bread and gave the cup, and you said, take, eat, this is my body, and take, drink, this is the blood of my covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Father, thank you so much for that. You've forgiven us of so much. Teach us how to be a people of forgiveness. And Lord, teach us the things that are in our own mind that we need to repent of and to forgive people. We're holding people hostage for minuscule things by scenarios that play out in our minds. Lord, we do this too much. Lord, forgive us. Help us to forgive others. And Lord, help us to be a people of repentance and grace and mercy and love. Lord, let us learn to love like you. Father, thank you for your body. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for the sacrifice which you poured out for us. And thank you for the victory that once we do these things, we actually have peace, Lord. I mean, worship is wonderful, and we love the feeling of letting our burdens go and praising your mighty name, Lord. But once we do these real tangible things, you give us a true freedom. Father, help us to walk in that freedom by being a people of forgiveness and by taking your body and your blood in a way that would make you pleased, in a way that would change the world. So we thank you for your body and blood, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Before I even get started, I just want to give honor to Oz and Pastor Jan, tell you thank you for all you've done to assist me to get to where I am now. Um, I can see that over the years I've been here, I've changed drastically. Sometimes you don't see it for yourself. You're going and doing, and there's always something going on, and you don't see it for yourself, but then something happens and you see that, man, I've changed. Yeah. And I just want to say thank you. I know it's because I've been here. So it's not just them, it's you all too. Because you all pray for me, and I pray for you, and I just really truly believe that it's been your prayers that have kept me the years that I've been here. And I just want to stop and just say thanks to all of you and give you a big ups, you know, because God uses all of us to bless one another at different times. And we just have to be open and receptive to his blessings. So let me pray before I get started. Father God, I thank you for this moment. I thank you for the wisdom and knowledge that you imparted to me to share with my brothers and sisters. Even though on this particular subject, I am not all the way there, I do thank you that you're helping me along and you're showing me a much better and stronger and a greater way. Father God, I thank you and I praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we know that God is love. But do we really know? Do we? Do we really know? We can say it. But do we really know? I'm going to impress on you today. Whatever you do from this day forward, if you don't have the Holy Spirit in your life, make sure you get it. If God is love, if he's love, then what's the evidence of him being love in your life? That's right. What's the point of him sending his spirit or having given you access to his spirit and you don't have it? His spirit was left so you could get all the goodies that come from being connected to Jesus. We come to church, and you know what? We don't grasp the big things. We're too busy wanting to talk about each other. See, God is light. Satan is darkness. It's a whole column of what darkness is, and it's a whole column of what light is. Light leads to love. Darkness leads to evil. It just does. And see, the thing about our love has to be shown in our giving. I can tell you I love you all day, but if you need something and I'm not there for you, then you know that I don't. Jesus was given to us. He was given to us. He was given to us. And then he gave us of himself. Let's go over to Matthew. I'll let Matthew tell it. Matthew tells the story pretty good. Let's go to Matthew 22, and let's start in verse 34. Matthew tells the story pretty good here. Because see, we gotta understand, What is the level of love that the world knows? And what is the level of love that we know? Watch this. Jesus kicking it with the Pharisees. He has a way to always get under their skin. Amen. Come on, y'all. He has a way to get under their skin, and he do it so smoothly and so lovingly. Amen. Watch this. 34. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, he shut them down. They talking about, hey, asking all kind of questions and coming up with tricks and trying to come at him. He shut them up. The Pharisees gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer. Now this dude right here know the word. He know the Old Testament. Asked him a question, tempting him. And saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, comma, with all thy soul, comma, and with all thy mind. These are three different entities, three different places. This ain't just one. He ain't just say you gotta love him, but he love him, but you gotta love him with heart, soul, and thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. But guess what? He wants you to love your neighbor with your heart, soul, and mind. He wants you to love God, but he wants you to love your neighbor the same way. That's what Jesus died for. He came, he showed us how to walk it out, but that's what he died for. He's messing me up every day about love. I see why he took so long, Pastor, showing it to me. Because he knew he was going to need my undivided attention on this one. Because he's showing me that, man, you got to be out of yourself to love people. You got to do it. It ain't your love. You got to do it with his love that's in you through his spirit. Come on, y'all. You got to do it with his love. You can't love that noisy neighbor, that one always over there run, run, in his backyard fixing cars and revving the engine. Run, 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 making noise all the time. You can't even watch TV good. But you still gotta love him. You still gotta love him. You got to get out of that. Oh, I'm so angry. I wish they moved. Oh, I hate I moved here. This and that and the other. You got to get out of that. But watch this. I got a couple footnotes. And this thing here, watch what this says. A lawyer. This is the lawyer up here. I'm going to break this down about this lawyer, dude. Watch this. A lawyer, an expert expounder on the Old Testament law, an equivalent to a doctor of theology today. This dude know the word. This dude was trying to play Jesus. Ask him, which is the greatest commandment in the law? The phrase tempting him implies that he is trying to draw Jesus into an argument regarding the Pharisees' extensive interpretations of over 600 laws. Instead, Christ summarizes the two tables of law, the two tablets of all of them. The one, loving God means responsibility to God. See, responsibility to God. And two is responsibility to man. See, we got to grow up. Because God is trying to show us his way. And I don't know, it's a lot I don't know, but I think I'm right on this one. When it's time to talk to Jesus in heaven, he's going to be talking about all that what you did. He's going to be talking about, did you love? Because that's all heaven is about. Did you love? Did you change? Okay, I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you. I really don't play with flies. But I think that's going to be one of the major things. Because if he is love and you don't have love, you don't look like him. You can't go to heaven. I ain't no theologian, but I broke that part down. And I knew I had to change. I knew I had to change because I wasn't a loving person. I was miserable. Let's just keep it real. And let me say this. The reason why I use me is because I don't want to use one of you and you get all bent out of shape. And I got to apologize, and I got to straighten the situation out. So it's easier to use me, because I don't mind saying how nasty and ugly and attitude I had. I was messed up. I think God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, even the angels, everybody that took part in getting me here, that's love. That's love. Watch this. Responsibility to God, responsibility to man. Watch this. Love the Lord thy God and love thy neighbor as thyself. The phrase, hold on. Okay, the phrase with all thy heart means this. With all the total being of man. With all the total being of man. With your whole being. See, it's no problem you being where you are. The problem is staying there. You don't have to stay there. You have a deliverer.
That's right.
You have a deliverer. And his arms are open. Today is a good day to start. Hey. Let's go over to Ephesians. I ain't gonna be up here that long today. Let's go over here to Ephesians. See, the reason why, the reason why God is having me preach on this is because he's really working on me. And then with the pastoral anointing that he placed on my life, it's my responsibility to share what he's showing and what he's giving me to change with you all. Because guess what? I don't want to just have this and not see my brothers and sisters thrive in it. It's my responsibility to share it with you. And see, a lot of people, they so used to just playing church. I'm not judging anybody. But I'm saying it's time to get out of that. If you at home, if you here, wherever you are, it's time to get out of that plan and just come forward and say, I'm messed up. Help me, man. I don't have love. I have hate. I'm violent. I curse a lot. I'm not responsible to my children. You have to just be real with yourself and say it. Quit covering up.
Yeah. There you go.
Because God can't help you if you just going to continue to cover up. We try to save face too much. Love. Listen, man. I'm like, God, why I want my spiritual gifts to work? God, he told me, bro, that's why it ain't working. That's why it ain't working. That's why I'm dealing with you with love so that now, here's the main point. You gotta have love to do anything great for God. Stop kidding yourself. You have to. And I'm glad God dealing with me about it. Does it hurt? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But at the same time, it feels good because I know he loves me because he's chastening me. Whoa, he's chastening me. See, y'all got to understand, oh God, why am I going through this? Stop the crying. Stop the crying. Oh Lord, he don't even hear that. Soon as you start that, he turn off the hearing aid, boop, and just let you go ahead. He don't hear that. He knows it's good for you. Embarrassment is good for you. To humble you. For somebody to tell you off that you talk too much is good for you. You know why? Because God says, shut your mouth so you can hear me. Shut up. Everything you say that comes out of your mouth, the enemy is sitting there waiting to help it come to pass. I love you, brothers and sisters, but guess what? God loves me too, but he don't come easy on me. I don't know how many of y'all just get it real easy, and God say, hey, you know what? Come on, get it together. He'd be like, Bird, get yourself. What are you doing? What are you doing? You mean to tell me I done wasted all this time with you and you still, man, get yourself together. And guess what? I'll be like, man, you're right, God. Let me check myself. But it's real. That's a real relationship. That's a real relationship. If your wife tell you, man, why you keep doing that? Don't go off on her. Don't check out on her. Well, you don't tell me what to do. I'm the man. Oh, no, get off of that. She's trying to help you. Or if the husband says, hey, babe, come on, man. You know, stop that. It's a love thing there. Husbands help to make the wives better, and wives help to make the husband better. Let's go with Ephesians 5. Let's start at verse 1. Thank you, Jesus. It's been a trying week, but you know, the Lord is, he's gracious. Okay, listen to this one. I really love, I used, even when I first started reading and studying, this scripture right here, Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, it used to really just get me. Watch this. It says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also have loved us and given himself for us in offering a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. And I always wonder, I said, how can I be a follower of God? By loving others, imitating. Let's go down to verse 22. We'll skip some. Watch this. Now I'm gonna start hitting on this, but I want y'all to understand that this is not about the wives and husbands. This is about love. Amen. Verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, but he is the Savior, and he is the Savior of the body. Remember when God said, hey, it's not good for you to be alone. He said, man, lay down here. I got something I'm going to do for you. And he reached in and took that bone from Adam. That's what made Adam the head. That's what made him the head. Women, you got here from Adam. And God wanted to be not where Adam was domineering over you, but that your respect and love for that union he brought together, which was y'all out of his body, should be respected and loved and held high. Because if I'm out somewhere and something happened and you saved my life, it ain't nothing I wouldn't do for you. You'll be my friend for life. That's why he made Adam the head. That's why. Just because he was first. Not that he was better, because remember, y'all are one. He took it and made it one. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, I got a footnote on this. Women, to help you smooth this out for you. I don't want nobody writing no letters to my man, Pastor Bird. He was off on the deep end, Oz. Don't let him preach no more. But watch this. I'm making it comical because, you know, just to make it palatable. All right, watch this here. All right. 24. The extent of the wife's submission to her husband is in everything. That is, in every area of life and in every issue that may arise, those which the wife may agree with and those which she may not. Again, in everything is limited only to those directives of the husband that are in the fear of God. That is, those conforming to God's will. Some people use this and be wanting to knock wives over the head with, you supposed to obey me, you supposed to do what I said. No. No. I really truly believe that God's love is unconditional. And if we quit putting boulders on our mates' shoulders, boulders, I mean, things they're not even capable of doing now because they're not at that place in God. they couldn't even possibly do it. You need the strength of the Lord. Why? Because God is love. They get married and expect everything to be hunky-dory. It don't happen like that. You have to grow into it. But you first got to submit. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. This is what God is trying to do. So ought men, here we go, men, we heard about the women, what the women should do, so are men to love their wives as their own bodies. Why? The bone was taken from your body. It was taken and then another life created. But then, not only that, you all are one. One. It's two of you, but you're one in the eyes of God. Let's see here. For no man, no, he that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Two contrasts here, a husband and wife is being looked upon as the church, a situation as the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Marriage is a delicate situation because that's God's highest for two people. That's his highest for two people to come together and to serve him as one. It says here in 31, no, hold on, Okay, I hear you, Holy Spirit. Wait a minute, let's look at this flesh a little bit. God, Jesus, he got on that cross willingly, just so that we could be partakers of him. We could get the fullness. We're supposed to be different. We're supposed to go out of our way for others. We're supposed to make things happen. Pastor, you do that good. I seen eyes make things happen for people, man, that never would have thought it would have came through him. That's love. Love is indeed. Love is by doing. That's what Jesus showed us on the cross. I'm doing this for you all. Man, that's powerful. That's love, y'all. Take some time. It's not arguing back and forth. It's not, you know, I got to make my point stand out. It's not about that. I'm not going to even read 31, but I got some footnotes. 527, watch this. The ultimate purpose of Jesus' love for the church is to present her to himself as a chaste bride. As a man wants a sexually untainted virgin as a bride, so Jesus wants his church to be without moral flaw. This verse develops the idea introduced in verse 27, that sacrificial love benefits the giver as well as the receiver. The church certainly profits from Christ's love in that she is granted salvation, but Jesus also benefits from his love in obtaining her as a pure bride. Similarly, the husband who loveth his wife loveth himself. That is, he profits from this love as does his wife. 29. The assertion of verse 28b that the husband who loves his wife loves himself is substantiated by Paul's reasoning in these verses. As the church is part of Jesus' body, get this, y'all, I want you to hear this good. As the church is part of Jesus' body, so is the wife a part of her husband's body. See, I just said that a few minutes ago. Thus, when the husband loves her, he loves himself because she came from him. You get it? Yep. She came from him. As a man who cares for his body benefits himself, so the husband who loves his wife brings much profit to himself. That's the extent of the love I'm talking about here, y'all. We want to come up. We want to begin to move in some great things that the Lord is doing. Start letting him deal with your heart with love. And watch, don't it change. It's going to start rolling down to your children. Man, you know, the Lord told me something some years ago. I didn't understand what he was saying just like I don't understand how the men walked on the moon. But I'm starting to see now. Years later, I'm starting to see now how the love of my children. He told me, he said, Bird, forget a relationship for now. Put your eyes on your children. And this was like 2012. I was like, man, what about me? He said, I'm gonna love you. See, I didn't know at that time that the love that's inside of me trying to grow came from him anyway. And it was churning and rolling around and it was growing and I didn't even know it. But I was obedient. And I paid very close attention to my children for a day and time such as this. For a day and time such as this. And I see it now. And I'm like, man, Jesus, you awesome. It makes you fall more and more and more in love when that revelation like that comes. All right, let me wrap this up. Watch this. I got, that's enough of the footnotes. I got 20 verses that I want to show y'all something on, and then I'm going to wrap this up. Let's go over to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John, that's little John in the back, chapter 4. Now, it's a lot in here. It's a lot in this passage. Go home and study it. It's a lot in here, but I need to cover all of it so that you can get the point. Verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children. Listen to this. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Them what? Them spirits. The spirit of the Antichrist. You are of God, little children. That means he's in you and you're in him. And y'all are working together. That's the only way you overcome this world. Ye are of God, little children, and you have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Listen to me, y'all. When Christ, greater is he that is in you, you can do some great things. You have Christ in you. You got to get off this little mean level. I'm sorry. I got to give it to you straight. Some of us continue to move on a kindergarten, first grade, second grade Christian level. You got. I'm sorry. I'm getting excited because out of love, I gotta give it to you. If I don't love you, I just keep sugarcoating it. How do you get it? You come to church.
That's right.
You forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Because you're going to grow from me and I can grow from you. Yeah. Or the sister over there can be a blessing to you, or you can be a blessing to the brother over there. But we have to be together. Why? We're a body.
That's right. Come on.
Oh, man. We're a body. I need your love. I was a hardened criminal. I need love. I need a hug. Why? I need the love of God that's in you shown to me so I can say, yeah, God is good. Oh, my God. Come on, y'all. Come on, y'all. Come on. Ask Pastor Jan or Philip Janine. They all show me love. They love me. They love some of that mess right on out of my life, even though I had to go through some deliverance a couple of times. But they loved it. They wasn't in deliverance. My man, Bird messed up. They was right in there with me, was praying over me. Say this, say that. Delivered. Delivered. So you can't tell me they don't love me. It would be stupid for me to leave here and go somewhere. Man, that would be the dumbest thing. Because my covering is here. The love is here. I'm trying to say something to you all at home. The love is here. Everything ain't going to go your way. Everything ain't going to just fit and work out for you. It's going to be some ups and downs. But guess what? You hang in there, and then God will deliver you.
That's right.
Quit coming in there trying to act like, oh, I'm, because you got on some nice clothes or something, everything is okay. No, guess what? We do have the gifts of the Spirit here. God will tell on you. He'll tell on you. But love ain't deceiving somebody. Love is the truth.
That's right. Come on.
This way it can't come back to haunt you. We got to really get serious with this thing. It's life inside this word. It can change you. Man, sometimes I just cry because I'm so glad at what God did with me. But guess what? I was patient. Faith takes time. Mm-hmm. Having faith takes time. And it all started to build. God loves you. He does. That's why you're here. That's why you're here, brother. That's why you're here, sister. He loves you. It's just because you think you got up and said, okay, I'm going to go to church. No, it was his idea. And guess what? He's going to reward you for being obedient. It may not come right away, but it'll come. Man, ooh, Jesus. Whew, okay. Let me get back to the word. Okay. Number six. Well, okay, no, five. They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. These are people that of the Antichrist. The world will listen to them. Six. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. That's how you know. Seven, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. There it is written right there. Love is of God. Can you imagine? We have a great degree of love in this earth. But can you imagine if it was truly agape, how crime would come to a halt? If it was agape, this is God's highest level of love. Self-sacrificing. Man, I never thought I would get to that. But God did that. God started that thing in me with my children. And I didn't even know I was doing it until, you know, it just got to the point where he said, you're already doing it. It's self-sacrificial. I moved out here, man, and I just wanted to be out here this bad. I wanted my children in a place where I knew the Holy Spirit was showing me it was safe. Moved in the house, I was like, man, and I got the house. Through just a crazy, supernatural blessing of God, I got the house. Then when I got the house, I went in there and sat. I was like, oh, God, how am I going to pay for this thing? Oh, I'm about to pay for it. He said, listen to me. We're going to make a way. He said, but your kids need this. I was like, man, I don't understand it. But he said, you're self-sacrificing now. Watch this. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. So if you're loving according to the scripture's definition of love, you're doing the will of God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested that the love of God towards us. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. We live through Christ. He paid the penalty for us. And this is what I don't understand. You can tell people that and they just don't get it. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins, a gift, a sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. That's the thing. Every time God forgives you of your sins, he loves you. He made a way for you to be able to get better. But guess what? How can you not love your brother or sister who don't even know God, and you know they don't know God? So what is going to come from them? What is supposed to come from them? Okay, let me give you a scenario. Okay, I'm at work. I moved to the new building. I'm over there. One of the reasons why I moved, because the work I like to do was over there. It was a guy that wasn't in my department, but I gotta tell you the truth, man. I just couldn't get with this guy. I even hated for him to call my name. I'm just going to tell you the real. Because I could discern the enemy in him. Always trying to set something up. And so I would avoid it. And then the general manager one day, he came to me, and this guy's a supervisor. He came to me and said, yeah, Bird, can I use you in the back? I'm like, why would you send me back there? You know, why? You're gone now. Right. Why would you send me back there? I tried to give him a chance, but he wanted to hang around. You know, I said, why would you send me back there? Well, we just need somebody. I said, hey, can't somebody else go back there? And God said, shut up and go back there. And I did. I went back there, y'all. And watch this. There's a lady down the street from the job that has an ice cream truck. It's in the middle of the summer. It was hot. And the job said, okay, y'all can go out there and get two things off the ice cream truck to cool off a little bit. So we came out and we came all out and everybody was in the front. And I didn't even make it back there again. So I'm in the front and I'm eating ice cream. And they came and said, yeah, man, go back in the polish. I'm like, man, I'm in the back. I'm back there. He's like, no, man, go back and polish. So I said, okay. So I went back and polished. And then somebody came up to me and told me, was like, yeah, man, the general manager wanted to know where you were. He was looking for you. You know? And then they told him you was back in front. It's like, man, if you don't get Bird back up here in polish, he the senior polisher. He the guy been here the longest. What you put him back there for? I said, man, leave Bird alone. I move over to the building. It's been probably 6 weeks. Now, pull up, park my car, look over. That dude is at the new build. They didn't want him there. They didn't want him there. Now, Roger is somebody that we came up the ranks in prefix together. Roger's the one, like, Bird, come on over here, man. Come on over here with me. We need you. We ain't got no people. Blah, blah, blah. That's the reason why I went over there. We friends. Just get a text. They sent Roger over there last week. I get a text. Yeah, Bird. Sorry, bro. I ain't coming back. But I already knew it. The Holy Spirit showed it to me. But now, that guy that I had the problem with, they're going to probably put him as boss in that department. But what I see in the spirit is I see General Motors. And ain't none of them there. That's what I see. I see a whole new move, Ford or General Motors. And I'm believing that and I'm standing on that. But the point of the matter is I still have to exercise love even with him. And I'm digging deep to get it. Because I never thought he would have went over here with us. He don't even know what he's doing. They fired a friend of mine. They just let him go. That was a supervisor at the other building before I left. They just let him go. I don't know why they don't just let him go. They both were supervisors. They both was doing the same thing. Why does he get special preferential treatment? So anyway, but let me keep going. Now, 12, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us. Remember this, when you love, when you're giving, when you're sacrificial, God is in you. You're not doing it for you. You're doing it to bless somebody else. That's what Jesus did to bless us. Remember that. Remember he said, what was the first scripture I went over when he was talking about? He said, be imitators of God as dear children. We have to imitate him. Follow his moves. Yep, right on time. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. Woo! His Holy Spirit, man, his Holy Spirit is working that thing in you. Come on, y'all. His Holy Spirit is working it in you. Yeah, sorry, bro. I ain't answering you. His Holy Spirit is working it. Listen to me. You gotta believe. You gotta believe the love of God for you. You gotta believe it by faith. You have to. I didn't understand it. I just thought they were just up there talking and preaching. They was talking real good. But now I understand. You got to know that God loves you and believe. Even before you see anything happening in you. Oh, you have to. It's by faith, people. We can be knocking each other over to bless people in here. Be like, oh, go ahead, John, man. You can get it this time, man. That's okay, man. You know, I don't need to try to get all the blessings. But that's how it should be. Really. Verse 14. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. Dwelleth. Dwells mean to live. And we know and believed the love that God have to us. Look at here. We know and believed that the love that God have to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. But remember, y'all, it's different levels of love. Agape, phileo, storge. Research it. Research the different levels so that you know which one you're operating in at the time. No. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Let me tell you something. What did I say? He gonna talk about love on the day of judgment. You gonna have confidence. You can get it now. And move in it, you'll have confidence. When you go, you're gonna have confidence because you're already being moved by the Spirit that's in you. Man, that's a shoo-in if you ask me. If he ain't gotta ask you, let's talk about those people that you wronged and messed over and didn't look out for. If you ain't gotta talk about that, it should be a shoo-in. You might get in by a nose, but guess what? You're in. I'm just being serious, man. You know, I don't care if I make it in by now. How'd you get in? I got in on the hair on my butt. But guess what? Guess what? I'm in. No, I'm being serious. I'm being serious. I want to make it, man. 18. Here's another good one. There is no fear in love. This is why this love that I'm teaching on today was so important. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Perfect love is God's love, his way. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We got to get over those fears. We love him because he first loved us. if a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar, for he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he that loveth God loveth his brother also. Now, is there anybody here that's not saved? You not sure that you saved? You don't know, you know, nobody never presented it to you. You never had the opportunity. Today is the day, man. This love you gotta have. You gotta have. You read it with me in the scriptures. This ain't my thoughts. These God's thoughts. If you're not sure that you're saved, please make your way down. I don't want nobody to leave here after this awesome word. I don't want nobody to leave here not knowing that they're not saved. It ain't gonna take but a couple minutes to pray with you and get you over here in the fold so you can start working the love of God. Come on. Come on, maybe you got saved a long time ago and just backslid. You know, been out of fellowship with God for a while. If that's the case, come on down. It's a quick prayer and you back in. You don't want to leave here, though. You don't want to leave here. Here's the opportunity. You don't want to leave here and then something else happens. You want to get covered. You want to know that you know that you know that God is your Savior, that God loves you. Come on, take your time. I know it's a hard commitment, but it's not gonna take that long to get you covered. Amen. If it's anybody here, come on, just come on down. It ain't embarrassing, it ain't nothing like that. It is show that you love yourself. And then God can start working love through you. Amen? Well, okay, I'll take it that everybody is good. But let me say this before I go. Don't let this moment that we spend in here, don't let it pass. When they put this online, get it and continue to listen to it. Sometimes, man, I listen to Oz, I listen to other tapes, and sometimes I have to listen to them 6 or 7 times before a revelation. Man, I'll be like, whoa, where'd that come from? I wasn't even looking for that guy, but it's God's word. It's God's word. God can expand, man. God can expand and make things work out for him anywhere. You know what somebody told me? I was riding down the street, and he just said, Bird, I can get money to you anywhere. And I was like, whoa, you can get money to me anywhere? He said, I can get money to you anywhere. You gotta believe I can. That's how powerful God is. And I know it. I know it to be true. It's some days I don't have nothing. Gas money. And I'll go out and I'll start cutting one person and somebody will come across the street and say, hey, look at my yard over there. Can you do something with that? Yes, I can, sir. Well, come see me after you get done. And there you go. And that be the blessing right there. His yard be bigger, longer, and I had to charge him a little bit more. And guess what? There the blessing is. He said, I can get it to you anywhere. That don't only stand for me. It stands for you too. But you got to be in him and he in you for it to happen. Amen? So anyway, I'm going to pray us out. Unless you want to say something, Pastor.
Just want to make sure, when Bird says, is anybody in here not saved? This is what Bird means. You give yourself to Jesus. You say, Lord, I commit my life to you. And then Jesus gives himself back to you because he gives you his spirit. That's what we're talking about. Has everybody in here committed their lives to Jesus and then asked Jesus to give you his spirit? You don't have to come up. Just pray with it. If you want to come up, praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Just pray after me. And for those of you in your seat who have not had that experience, pray after me. Father God, I come before your throne. I give my life to you. I give my heart to you. Please, Lord, thank you, Lord, that you're going to put your spirit in me. I ask for this in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Let's thank the Lord. Hallelujah.